As you open your Bible to the book of Romans in chapter 4 and in verse 3 to read again the prerequisite to our Bible studies, I just want to mention two things as you look in Romans 4:3. First, that the Spanish class is tremendously growing. We have fixed, turned walls down and put people in, and now Anthony and I work on Saturday, on Wednesday to fix the walls with new boards and this, and it's full. So if, I think there's room for two more. It's just, amazing how the Lord has blessed us, and we praise the Lord for that. Then also that, on the 17th, Sunday the 17th, will not be even in service. We will meet at the Isabella restaurant, which is the Paredes restaurant in San Jose, and eat raw fish, ceviche, all right? No, my wife said no. Okay, we're going to eat, they're going to make ceviche for me, all right. And we're going to have a great banquet, and we're going to speak about love and the love of God. And Pastor will address you with a few things. Yes, sir. According to, I understand, it's 17, the banquet. The 17, all right. Okay, you got it? 17. 24, it's missionary night, a missionary afternoon, and Brother Lazy is coming. He was the only one missionary, was not here this year, so he's coming. He's going to show us a film also on his motorsport ministry and all these, those who like racing, all these Indianapolis and all the places he has been. And then they will show to you in a marvelous way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and in verse 3, these words. Paul was questioned about how did Abraham was saved. And Paul said, for what does the scripture say? And this is what these biblical foundation studies has been during the month of January. We only tell you what the scripture says. All right? Now, you know, when you make a building first, you make an excavation. They make room for the foundations. And we have put the first stone, the Bible, then God, the personal God, then the Lord Jesus Christ, and the last Sunday we put the last stone, the Holy Spirit. And now the foundation is at level with the ground. Now we're going to make the building. And the first stone of the building I call sin and salvation. There is no body of Christ unless you deal first and most with sin and salvation. You cannot build your Christian life. You cannot grow as a Christian unless you start with the first stone after the foundation, which is sin and salvation. Three things I want to tell you. Number one, the original story. Have you ever heard somebody telling you, you know what happened to so-and-so? And that person said, tell you. And then you say, how do you know? Well, so-and-so told me. Then you go to that person and say, how do you know? Well, so-and-so told me. And as people speak, it's entirely different from one from another. Now, I want to go to the original story. The Roman Catholic Church say one thing about sin. The Protestant says another thing. The Muslim says another thing. The Buddha says another thing. What is the original story? Thank God it's right here in the Bible. The original story. Then I want to talk about what sin has caused, the effect of sin. You take something, food who has been not clean and so on, you get a poisoned stomach, all right? Consequences of what you take in. So Adam and Eve took sin, and what happened to the human race? And then what is God's solution to this remarkable and wonderful work to rescue mankind? When we work in the Bible together, it's easy today, most of the time, in the most precious book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Brother Greg Thomas and myself are in love with that book of Genesis because it has the gospel in a nutshell, all right? Here we are. Number one, the original story. I want you to know that God created the universe And he evaluated each time that he created. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to read for you the steps that God took. He did this, and then he evaluated. Then he did this, and then he evaluated. Then he did this, and he evaluated. Because mankind accused God of saying, well, why there is sin in this world? Does God do not know how to make something good? Well, I'll show it to you. All right, here we are. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So God created the light, and what he said? It was good. Now I want you to know, there is no good, very good, or excellent in Hebrew. Is the word toba, tobi, when applied to a particular area. And that word means great. There is no better word than that. And God saw there was toba. Now look with me in verse 10. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called sea, and God saw that it was tov. It was great. Now look with me in verse 12, please. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that, and it was what? Good. You see it? I want you to see it, because it's important. Now, let me read verse 16 to 18, where God created this complex universe. All right? Then God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. God develops the centrifugal force to do the equilibrium of the earth, to put the sun and the moon, one is hot, one is cold. And so through these dimensions, he created the planets, and God looked on it, and they are circulating very, very good. Now look with me in verse 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every wind bird according to their kind. And God saw it, and it was good. I have very few birds around my house, but I love the blue jays for their mentality, their stress, and their eagerness to cover their territory. Who told them that? God. It was good. It was good. All right, look in verse 25, please, same chapter. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw, and it was good. Fantastic. And now, verse 31, please. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was, now there is an adjective to the word tov, it was very good. It was good, good, great. So, ladies and gentlemen, when God created this universe, he created perfectly, with no flaws, no flaws. Now, he put in this universe two people, one by the name Adam, different from the animals, he was a human being, and another by the name Eve. And God gave to these two peoples one command. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. My outline maybe said chapter 1 and is wrong. It's chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Korean computers, I tell you. All right. My outline, I had to blame somebody. All right. Chapter 2 and verse 17. God said to Adam, let me read verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man. He don't say, well, I want to give you some options. You don't do that with your children, don't we? You tell your children, this is what you're going to do, and this is what you're going to do. I hope you do that. No option to your children. 2:16. And look at what it kept clear. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Everything is yours. But I remember when my grandmother said, you can do this, this, this. But, boy, that's the bad thing. Bad news. That's where limitations come. All right. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God commanded the man only one thing. And God said, you can enjoy, here is the command, you can enjoy the entire creation. You can use everything you want to, except of these three of the knowledge of good and evil, stay away from that. Now tell a child today, you can enjoy everything here, but don't touch the chocolate in that table. The first thing the child will do is go to the chocolate on that table. At least I will do that. So now God gave a command to man. Now I wonder how mankind, pure, with no sin within. Remember in Genesis 1:31, and God saw his creation, completed, with mankind on it. He saw the creation, and he said, and it was very good. It was perfect. Nothing is in fault. And God let the creation enjoy. And in order to show love to him, he said, I'm going to put one limitation only. The rest is all yours. How did mankind reacted to that command? Now we have to go to Genesis chapter 3 to see it. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 7. So when the women saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sew fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, coverings. How that Adam and Eve, humankind, reacted to God's command. What they did is they went over, did what God said no, and then they knew they were wrong, and rather they run into God and say, God, we blew it. They cover with fig leaves. Like if God cannot see you behind a fig leaf. Amazing. Amazing. Humanity covered themselves up. So much was damaged the mind of mankind. That if you look in verse 9, Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, only God has to look for them. Otherwise, mankind do not have the ability to run for God. Verse 9 said, then the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, where are you? God always blamed the husband and not the wife. Be careful, man. What you say to your wife and how you treat your wife. Because God blamed the husband and not the wife. And God got after Adam and Eve and said, where are you? Now God knew where they went, but he said, where are you? Now things have not changed much, my friend. After thousands of years and billions of people, human beings have the same reaction. Science cannot find where we come from. So they make an apron called evolution. That's an apron. Evolution. Oh, yeah. And a stone flew in this way. Another stone flew in this way. They crash. And 70 minerals came out of that. Come on. The waters move on one side and in the other. And then out of the water came this amoeba, and this amoeba have life. Where they get the life, the amoeba, they don't know. But that's where they started. It's an apron. It's an apron. And philosophy is an apron. Muhammad said, I receive a message from God. The Mormon said, I receive a message from God, and I start writing. Buddha said, I receive a message from God, and I start writing. The Catholic Church said, well, in order to reach God, you need to do this, and you need to do the other. You, but you are dead, my friend. How can you do that? But well, if you give this offering, if you repeat so many sentences, I remember, you have to repeat this, and you do it again and again, and no consciousness of sin whatsoever. The only consciousness is, well, if I do this, I have to do that. If I do this, you pay for yourself, and there was no payment that Adam and Eve can contribute to save themselves. My good friends, life is still the same. The same story. The same story. Now, how this affects you and me. I want to show you two important words where the Bible translates sin, but leave it so open that you see it. One is in Joshua chapter 7. You remember the Joshua chapter 7. First, let me say this. God commanded Joshua to take over the land of Palestine. And God gave General Joshua, commander-in-chief of the forces of Israel, one complete message. Remember, that was in Joshua 1, 6 to 8. Wherever your foot touches is yours, Joshua. Be no afraid of anything. Wherever you go, you just take over, is yours. I give that to you. So they go. And boy, Jericho fell in the hands of the Jericho, the fortress of the Palestinians, fell like nothing. Then, Ai. Well, a few people in Ai. We send half of the army. We take you over. They get beat. And Joshua said, well, God fails. We have sinned. Look at Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. That's the word sin. That is the word sin. Trespass. Trespass means crossing the forbidden line. They committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zaddi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. When you do something that God said no, the anger of the Lord burned against you. We sometimes forgot the seriousness of our life. Committing a trespass. So sin can be seen in our life by going beyond the line. God draws a line right here in this Bible. These are the lines. One time, one lady wanted to be a member of our church, came from the Seventh-day Adventist, and she said, where are your guidelines for my life? So I brought the Bible with Brother Russell. And she said, but no. She said, I need to know what I need to do and what I should not do. Well, you read the Bible. Do I have to read this book? What do you think? I know Christians don't do it, but just do it. You want to know tomorrow's problems in the world? Just read the book that tells you what it is. So, trespass. Doing something that is crossing the line. It's crossing the line. You know, you drive your car and you see in a highway a two yellow line, you're going to cross. All right? If you cross, you commit a trespass. Tell the policeman, sorry for the trespass. What? He will say. You commit a trespass. Now, there is another word, a little heavier, the trespass, is found in Isaiah chapter 59. By the way, the numbers, the page number of the Bible are in the outline, so you can look the outline and find the page number of the Bible. Chapter 59 of Isaiah. That is another word. It is a little heavier, not just a little heavier, it is heavy. And also tells you the consequences of sin. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So don't tell me, oh, so-and-so is so bad, cannot be saved. Don't tell me that. And then the Bible said, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So keep on praying for what you are praying because God can hear. All right? Now, look at verse 2. But your iniquities is another word. I talk too much in Spanish and damage my ear. But your iniquities has separated you from your God. Iniquities is a word that we don't use too much, but means to twist or pervert behavior. Twist or pervert behavior. Iniquities. And the Bible explained that my iniquities separate me from God. That's what sin has done in the human being. You can say, Pastor, are you sure today? All the verses of the Bible, told me a friend, all the verses that you use are in the Old Testament. Well, I measure an Old Testament. I like to preach in the Old Testament. Thank you. This is my Spanish assistant, Anthony. All right. I tell you this. How can we realize the New Testament? Well, move your Bible to Ephesians then. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at what the Bible says about it. My iniquities have separated me from God, and I'm going to deal with that in a minute. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible said, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. You and I were dead, not physically. Adam was mentally alert, physically alive, but spiritually dead. And that's what happened. People are born dead spiritually. The seed of Adam and Eve goes into the hearts of people. And either is it people who willingly trespass all the time, or people who have iniquity, who always think, how can I do this against somebody? People even kill when they have iniquity in their heart. Amazing. Really amazing. What is the real impact of the sin of Adam in our heart? Well, go to Jeremiah with me. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the Bible said, the heart is deceitful above all things. In my business career, for Christmas, the companies make big parties, and they invite me to the happy hour. I have no idea what a happy hour is. I told my wife, I think they're going to show a movie or something. They call it the happy hour. So we arrive 2 hours earlier for the dinner for the happy hour. To laugh, I thought. I laugh after, see those guys drunk. But I tell you. He said, here we are. He said, this is the happy hour. And they give me salami and cheese, which I love it. And a little thing, salami and cheese, a little thing. And then they offer me liquor. I said, I thought this was the happy hour, not the sad hour. He said, well, you know, we all drink before. Well, if you drink 2 or 3 glasses of this, when you eat, you do not taste the food. I guess America don't taste the food. I taste the food before I try it, so I see if my wife cook right. Okay? Hey, that's what my father did. He tasted the food to see if my mother will cook right. If not, he will tell him, put this and put the other. It's tough, no, to be married to a Spanish. All right. Hear this. The heart is deceitful. And one man told me he got 3 glasses or whatever it was. I don't know. And I said, sir, this could be bad for you. No, I know when to stop. After the dinner, I took him home. He was just out of his place. He knew when to stop. What a lie. What a lie. We do not know when to stop to sin unless God stops us. Remember that. So, my friend, there is a verse in the Bible in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12. They put it in the most simple way you can hear it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It is just so good that you can't believe it. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death is spread to all men. No means only death physically, I mean spiritually dead. As one man sinned and lost his spiritual connection with God, then all men lost their spiritual connection to God. They are gone. And that's what is the development of sin. Now, people think that you die and it's over. One man told me, and some Christians think this way. You die as an unbeliever and it's over. Well, I have news for you. I have tomorrow newspaper for you. It's right here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. For those who think, well, if I die, so what? Nothing happened, like some people said. I have news for you. Unless you don't believe the verse, then it's a different story. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. You die once, that's true, physically. You die once. But then your soul and spirit will be brought to judgment. Really, Pastor? Where? Revelation chapter 20, please. Thank God for Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. This is what is going to happen to those people who said, Bologna, the Bible is no good. This is what is going to happen to you tomorrow if you die without Christ. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small and great, standing before God. And books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the dead in Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his work. Then death and Hades, or hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, your spiritual death, is second. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, don't tell me that if you die, everything is over. Jehovah's Witness believe that. If you die, everything is over. No, yeah, everything is over here, but not over in heaven. Now you need to give an account of what really goes on. So here we have, how the Bible describes eternal judgment means one by one, you will be judged with no defense, no contribution from your bar, nothing you have done will merit to anything. You will be destined to a lake of fire and hell forever. Well, is there any solution for sin then? He said, yes, it is. What Genesis 3:9 says, here is the solution for sin. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? The solution to sin is that God is calling. God is calling. I have an apron. I hide myself from the presence of God, but God is calling. People said, well, that was then, and it is now. Ephesians chapter 4, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, God is still calling. Ephesians in the New Testament chapter 4 and verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were, what? Called into one hope. My brother and my sister, you were called into the gospel. You were moved by the Holy Spirit to read the scripture. You were moved by the Holy Spirit to read the scripture. You were moved to believe the scripture. You were called. That's what God called. Call. First, here's God's solution. He called his people. Then, God does the same thing he did in Genesis chapter 3. Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Everything of the gospel is in Genesis. That's why science do not like Genesis. Here it is. Genesis 3, 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of a skin and clothed them. My friend, tunics of a skin and clothed. He God, for the first time in history, God has to kill an animal, open up, shed blood, and cover Adam and Eve. That's what God did for us. First Peter, please, chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, at the end of your Bible, almost to the end, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 18 and 19, God covers you, not with your works, not with the works of the church, not with the dogma of the church. Look at how God covered you, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were imputed the blood of Christ upon your life, like using the vocabulary Paul used in Romans chapter 5. God calls you, and when you see that you are a sinner, God provide this offering and impute that offering into your life, and no longer he see your sin, he see his work, the work of Christ. So pastor, then what must I do? You go to the book of Acts. My head wasn't in Spanish, almost I say Hechos, the book of Acts. Chapter 16, please. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, this is what happened. Paul and Silas, his associate pastor, were in jail for telling the truth to people. An earthquake happened. The jail is open and the clubs that hold their feet are open, not only theirs, but everybody. The sergeant is afraid that somebody will run away. Then his life is in jeopardy. He's ready to kill himself. And here is the word. Paul tells them, no, don't do that. Everything is okay. Then he heard Paul singing psalms, which is the word. And then in verse 30, the Bible said, Acts 16:30, he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? What I need to do? See, always we said, what must I do? How much money are I going to bring here? What is my contribution? I need to do something, sir. Yes, sir. You need to do something. What verse 31 said? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Just I studied that a few minutes ago, and I wrote two words. One in Greek, pistis. Another word in Greek, pisteo. The Greek has two words for believe. One, belief doctrine, is a noun, pisteo. Believe. Believe, pistis. That's the word. And God said, if you really want to be standing before God and make that Christian building to flourish, you need to believe that you were a sinner. You need to believe that you have nothing to contribute. You need to believe that the blood of Christ can be imputed to you. You need to believe God. If you don't believe it, you will steal in your sins. Doesn't matter how much offering you give. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church. Doesn't matter how many times you do this or you do the other. The only solution to build a stone in which the building will be beautiful and secure is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you believe that his blood cover you like the blood of the Lamb covered Adam and Eve. Without our covering, you're still in sin. And you jeopardize your life for eternal judgment. What a great message the Bible has. What a great message. And I looked at that book, and I don't have the time to explain it as I explained later, before. But I tell you, why God did it. Genesis 3:16 said, for God so loved the world. The world, we're all in sin. There is no more grass only coming out of the ground. What also comes with the grass? The weeds. And we have to spend money to buy things to kill the weeds. There are weeds in our heart. The weeds of the university. the wits of science, the philosophy. But the blood of Christ can cover you. My friend, turn your heart to God blind on the value of His word. And the rest will be history. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the preciousness, for the preciousness of the message of sin and salvation. It's ugly. It's terrible. Trespass, iniquity. But we need to see how terrible we are until we realize that we can do nothing but cry unto you, Heavenly Father, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Thank you, Father, that Jesus died and resurrected, that His blood was accepted on earth as well as in heaven. And now we have power to live. Lord, have mercy on many. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
They laughed and scorned Him as He died. The humble King they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but You have brought me to Your side, to be led by Your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, wash me precious blood, my Jesus Christ.